Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and I'm inviting you to join me each and every week so together we can win the battle for business. Hey, as always, thank you so much for sharing some of your time with me today. And if you're a listener, you're a fan, you're a follower of the show, you know I'm always a huge fan. I find them fascinating, the story of the entrepreneur. And today's guest, today's show is not going to disappoint. I've been looking forward to this interview. It's an amazing story. It's one of the most compelling stories I've heard in a long time. So let me start off this way. Let me kind of get you thinking first. What happens when you mix a law school student, an active duty member of the Navy, and a new mom? What happens when you mix those three people together? Well, what happens is you get an environmentally sustainable, 3 to 5 ingredient, better for you chocolate bar. Yes, that's right. Now think about it. And it really goes to that old, old saying, necessity is the mother of inventions. And what I find so intriguing and is part of what I love about the show and sharing these kinds of stories with you is how many amazing products, how many amazing businesses and super successful businesses started with some really either tough, gritty backgrounds, up against it, stories, even some gut-wrenching stories. And to me, when your foundation as an entrepreneur calls you to be gritty, calls you to be tenacious, calls you to be creative, think outside of the box, those are the people who typically are the ones, in my opinion, even from what I've just seen on the show over the 11 plus years we've been doing the Profit Express, those are the ones who didn't have it easy, are the ones who typically succeed the most. And I get a feeling that this is going to be the case for today's guest. You are going to fall in love with her, her story, and her company once you hear this, her story. She's Teresa Black, and she is the founder of Bon Appétit Suite. Love the name, by the way. And today's just going to be an interesting conversation from one entrepreneur to the other, and you're invited to listen in. So it is a great pleasure to welcome aboard the Profit Express, Teresa Black. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am very well, and I love that. I came up, it hit me today. What do you get when you mix a law school student, active duty Navy personnel, and a new mom? Right? You get an amazing entrepreneur is what you get. So thank you for sharing some time today. What I'd like
thank
to do.
For having me.
Yeah, oh no, my pleasure. Listen, not much of a show if it's just me talking. Trust me, the listeners always come for the great guests. Take us back to that time when those three worlds collided. And what led you to what is now today Bon Appétit Suite?
Yes, sir. So I was actually just finishing law school. I got notified a week after I took the bar exam that I was getting deployed for a year. At the time, my daughter was 18 months and I was freaking out because I'm a single mom. And the reality is that when I leave, there's nobody here to watch her. So She was going to go live with my cousin, who she hardly knew. So a week before her second birthday, I deployed. And I literally cried every single day, every day. And I knew I could never deploy again. But I also thought about really hard about it. And the fact that if I come back home and work as an attorney, a new attorney, I'd be working 80 hour weeks and I would never see my daughter still. So I understood that I could not come home and still not see her after being gone for a year. So I had to start my own business. And that was my way of getting out of the Navy, but also not being able to bring her with me when I have to go to work every day. And so, yeah, as you said, the chocolate bar was eventually born as a promise to her that I would never leave her again.
So then you have a degree in law, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously that's certainly a great career to fall back on, which it would have been the safe route. But you were that determined. Was it that experience of being away for at that point in her life that you said, even forget the career law, I have to do something where I'll be there for her. That was that powerful.
Yeah,
for
I mean, so the reality is that I went through a transformation. I went through a huge transformation during that year. As most people are, when you're going through your life, you go straight from high school to college to work, and you're just like always, like you never really have time to really think about what your next step is. And though I was deployed in a combat zone, it was the first time in my life where something that I was doing, it wasn't like I had to have a decision right away. And so I had time to really just think. And I realized that like my entire life, I had spent doing what people expected of me. So I wanted to go to college, obviously. I wanted to go to law school. But it was one of those things that was just like, people expect me to change the world. And I had to figure out how to do that. And so the way I wanted to do that was through law and by changing the criminal justice system. But the reality is I realized that I could do what I really wanted while still having the other thing that I wanted, which was time with my daughter. And so that's how I actually came upon my company mission to fight for social justice, actually, is because it was my way of continuing my fight against social injustice while also staying with my daughter.
So being able to combine being able to combine the best of both worlds, time with the daughter. And you set out in a career in law to help reform the justice system, found out it wouldn't be the best possible route. But then you said something very important that I haven't heard many guests share. And as an entrepreneur myself, as a small business owner, just resonated with me, Teresa, where you said, you know, we go through life, we go from high school into college and college into a career, and we don't get much time to think. Basic statement, but very powerful.
Yeah.
And if
honestly, it changed my life. It literally changed my life. I would not be sitting here today had that not happened. And I might have just gone 10 years, 15, 20, maybe my whole life just being miserable with the idea that I missed out on this time in my daughter's life. You know what I mean? And doing something that, yeah, I liked, but I love being with my daughter. And I love changing the world to be a better place. And so it's just one of those things that's like so many people get stuck in that routine and that safeness. And they don't really have time, like I said, have time to think about what they really want. And so they just keep going.
You know, it's funny. It's and we haven't even gotten to the chocolate yet, the fun part of everything. but what you're saying is very, very important. And, you know, listen, people go for careers, they go for safety, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know. But I guess when you speak to the entrepreneur, I believe if you're an entrepreneur, there's something in your DNA that allows you to be an entrepreneur, to put up with the craziness. Because you could have even said, all right, I'm not going to go for law, it's 80 hours a week, but you could have found a different kind of career, okay? There's other options, obviously. But getting into the creation of a line of food, of chocolate, of getting into, so the food industry is super competitive and tough. Again, I'm no expert in it. Retail is super competitive and tough. So, man, you're jumping in the deep end. So how did you end up, you say, okay, you considered, what am I going to do to allow myself to spend the most amount of time I can with my child? And it ends up being chocolate. How did you get to that decision?
Man, it's a long time coming, because the reality is that I've always been into food, always.
Right.
When I was living in Japan on my second ship, I was actually selling cheesecakes.
You've been a hustler.
I didn't even tell you about when I was in high school. I mean, I was selling candy bars in high school, paying my employees a candy bar a week. I guess it is in my blood. I just never knew it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got into the chocolate because when I first got pregnant, I changed my diet completely. No candy, no processed sugar, like nothing. Like I was like vegetables, meat, and like, you know what I mean?
Real
I had
clean,
a lot of dairy.
Right.
Yeah, super clean. And it's because, I mean, I want to give my daughter the best foot forward, right?
Sure.
Because I had a little cousin when I was younger who was, from the time she was about 2 to 3, she was like overweight. And she's never been able to get over that. Even now, had a gastric bypass surgery when she was just 18. And so it's one of those things. It's like a lot of parents don't put a lot of thought into what their children are eating, not realizing that their diets are going to stay that way. Like whatever way you set it at when they're little is how it's going to stay unless they make a drastic change. And so I want to set my daughter off on the right foot. So yeah, when she was born, no sugar, no nothing. Like she was like, she loved vegetables. She didn't even have fruit until she was like 9 months old. But
Well,
like, yeah, I mean, so.
that's smart though, because they don't know what they don't know. And
Exactly.
yeah, because even fruit, people don't think about that. We did that with our son too. Fruit's got a ton of sugar, so if you delay fruit, that's actually a very good idea. Yeah.
Yep. So honestly, when I deployed was when everything changed for her. So all of my relatives lived where she was living. So my aunts and my cousins and all that stuff. And they were just like, your mom's been really strict with you all this time. So I'm going to give you what you have been missing. So like, here's the candy, here's the ice cream, whatever you want, just let me know and we'll give it to you. And so, oh my goodness, I was so upset when I was gone. But what am I going to do? I'm halfway
Yeah.
across the world.
Right.
And so this company was a way of coming back home and letting her still enjoy the foods that she started to love while I was gone without all that disgusting stuff, all those bad ingredients.
Right.
And so we actually started off making gelato, and then actually pivoted into chocolate, because we were making the chocolate for our gelato because it was also no added processed sugar. And we started making the chocolate for that. And then one day I was like, I wonder if people would like the chocolate. So we tried it out in a local store and it was destroying the market leader in the grocery stores. So I was just like, oops,
Really?
we got something here. Yeah. And so like people had tons of options for chocolate and they were getting ours. And this is without any marketing, nothing. Like they just saw our ingredients and were just like, we're going to go for this. And here we are.
So let's talk about that then, because I'm a label watcher. I try to be careful. I try to eat well, I think more people today are becoming more conscious of what they're actually eating. And man, some of those labels, you read them, it would scare you. I think you said, and I mentioned in the intro, like 3 to 5 ingredients. So what makes up your chocolate? What's that secret sauce in it, if you will?
So the primary ingredients are going to be cocoa butter, cocoa powder, and dates. And then the extra ingredients are just, it just depends on the flavor. So the inclusion is, so we have sea salted almond. We have what I call better than milk. So it's a better than milk chocolate bar. So it's a vegan bar that tastes like milk chocolate, but it's still just cocoa butter, cocoa powder, dates, and vanilla beans. And then we have one bar that just has almonds. So we call it better with almonds. Then we have the glorious golden chocolate, which you're going to have to try to understand because it's impossible for me to explain to you how it tastes. And then we also have our 85% bar. And then we've been doing like I've allowed some of my closer customers to make special requests. So we have one, and each time they make a special request, we name the bar after them. One person, it's called the Sutnut Berry. So they
Right.
liked Cadbury's almond and raisin, but they hated the almonds, so they wanted cashews. So we made that bar. And honestly, I love that bar. For me, it tastes like Raisinets, except
Oh.
a clean version. So I love that bar.
So now,
And
wait,
then
so now,
the.
I'm sorry, go ahead, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
So you listen, I mean, lots and lots and millions of people love chocolate in all shapes and varieties. So you said you had that vegan one that you were describing, and it's just what that's like just as good as milk chocolate, you were saying?
Oh, our whole line is vegan.
So
Every
the
single
whole
product
line
that we
is
have is a
vegan.
vegan product.
And so
It's just the
so
one
you
specifically. So the better than milk chocolate, that one's
right.
made to replace milk chocolate. So most of the time when people have a milk chocolate bar that doesn't use dairy,
Right.
you get like this, it's like a chalky taste or like it tastes like something else. It tastes like, so if you have coconut milk in there, it tastes like coconut. Or if you have like, you know what I mean, oat milk, it tastes like oat. But like this bar is made to taste like milk chocolate, nothing else. And you get that true taste that you're used to, except completely clean. So I actually started doing taste tests with America's number one milk chocolate bar versus ours. And literally the feedback that we got back is that they can't even enjoy that bar anymore because it tastes like straight chemicals. And they've never tasted something so clean. So it's one of those things that's just like, yeah, you thought you liked milk chocolate until you try what we have.
Wow, I love your confidence. You're going head to head with milk chocolate. That's great. So now, wait, but let me get back to this. So you said with you know, and I have not tried your chocolate yet, you know, for the record. You said for, hey, some of our great customers, we let them, you know, kind of create their own bars. We'll name bars after them. So how do we get the Profit Express bar? That's what I want to know. And so we have to think about that.
Well, you had to let me know. What's your special request?
I don't want to just be flippant about this. I want to give this careful consideration to have.
All right. Let me know. I'll make a bar for you. So, I mean, the reality is, like, even the 85% bar that we have now, I didn't have that before. But a person who usually only eats 85 tried our 70, and he couldn't believe how creamy it was. And he said, if you can make a 70 this creamy, I can only imagine what you would do with the 85. Right. And he was like, what would you make me do if you made me 85% bar? He's like, I will literally buy as many bars as you want in order for me to get that 85%. And so I made him 85%. He said he'll never go back to anything else. He said he's never tasted an 85 that was so good and so creamy. That's why I sent some to you, but I know they missed you. So
we didn't get them in time, but now I've got something to look forward to. So listen, we're talking at the fun end of chocolate, right? And you know, the fact that you obviously now all the bars are vegan, you're going clean ingredients, obviously, which is part of the mission. But let's talk about now, you know, the story that got you here is amazing, but as I said earlier, the food business, the retail business is not an easy business. There's ingredients, there's production, there's equipment, there's distribution, there's sales channels. How did you begin to educate yourself in this? And what goes into getting a business like this off the ground?
Yeah. So, I mean, I had that year to think. And so every single day of that year, I was pitching ideas, different business ideas. When I finally settled on one, then I started honing in and focusing on like where the market was going, the market numbers, what people were liking. And I realized that like my idea of not using this processed sugar was a game changer, but it was also something that was important to me. So it just happened to be that my desires were in the same place as the rest of the world's at the same exact time, which was, I mean, I can't even explain how lucky that was. But the reality is that I've learned as I've gone along. So we started off, I got back in July of 2019. By September of 2019, I found out that Chobani was doing an incubator for veterans. And so I got accepted into that. And Chobani was a huge step in figuring out the process and also like meeting some of the right people. And so from there, I mean, honestly, it's really been about just, I kind of stumbled into a lot of stuff. And I went into a Whole Foods one day and asked for the buyer. And he told me like what we had to do and the process and all that stuff. And from that, I learned that that's how you have to get into all grocery stores. And so I tried, I mean, I was focusing on major retailers and I realized that that's not the way to go because they have cycles and they have calendars and they're not going to just take anybody, even if the product tastes amazing. Yeah. They're not going to just say, oh, this tastes good. We're going to take you tomorrow. But the smaller local grocery stores will do that. And so that's what we've been focusing on now is actually just going into the smaller grocery stores. And so we've gotten picked up by a handful of them lately and just recently got into a smoothie bar actually out in Colorado. So, I mean, it's been a grueling process and a lot of learning, but I've been doing it for about 2 years now, and I'm just thinking I got like my foot in the door at this point. we've been in a lot of pitch competitions, but we're always competing against someone who's like creating a heart machine that's going to, you know, get rid of the congestive heart failure or something. So it's like, yeah, your chocolate is healthy. It's going to help change everyone's like the world, but like, this is going to cure cancer. So it's stiff
competition. Yeah. Yeah. So,
more recently,
you said something interesting. I just want to go back to this and then we'll continue because I know we're talking about the sales channels now, which is critical. I think so. You said I had a year to consider, and that was why when you were deployed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're considering, you're putting together the business, the idea, and then, if I heard you right, you said, I had a year and I was pitching every day. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
So you are so you're just talking to yourself, you know, maybe, you know, before you go to bed at night, are you having these dreams, these visions? I mean,
so literally every dinner, most lunches, like if you talk to the people I was deployed with and that I ate meals with, they're just like, all right, Teresa, come on. Like every day. But like then some days I would sit down and they were just like, here, tell this person your idea. So it was one of those things. Like you get a lot of feedback when you pitch a lot. And so, yeah, I mean, I read a ton of books. Like you will not imagine the amount of research I've done. Like I did so much research. I have spreadsheets upon spreadsheets upon spreadsheets with everything down to like literally credit card interest rates to like how the cost of transportation on this type of refrigerated or non-refrigerated or frozen trucks. Like I did everything.
Really?
Yeah, like I researched my butt off because I knew I was going to come back and do this. And it was actually, I actually never realized that people say a lot of times that they're going to start their own businesses and then just don't. I never knew that. And I didn't realize this until people started coming home from deployment that I had spoken to while I was there and told I was going to start this business. And they're just like, you did it. Like you actually started it. And at first I was just like, yeah, I told you I was going to, but then I realized I found out as I went on that like people say that all the time and they just don't do it. And so I guess I was kind of unique in that way, but I just didn't know because I mean, for me, if I say I'm going to do something, it's going to happen. Right. So, I mean, it's just normal for me. It's just like breathing.
Well, you know, what's funny. You had the benefit of not knowing that. So you didn't allow that thought of not doing it to creep into your mind because that's, think about it. People can have grandiose ideas. Everybody would like to do this, like to do that, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, it's taking the idea and then, you know, applying action to it. You know, that's going to make the huge difference. And that's where people are like, oh, wow, this is harder than I thought, or ooh, and then they quit. And you,
when you have a little girl that's depending on you to succeed, there's no quitting. There's no quitting. It's not even an option, honestly. Like, the very fact that, like, my daughter comes with me into my, like, she knows what my business is. She knows that this is our company, right? She knows that I have to work in order to make it succeed. And she is all about it. Like, she was in preschool at the playground. They're playing gelato shop because that's what she saw me making all the time. You know, so it's like she's now growing up saying, oh, mommy, I'm going to start a lemonade stand. It's going to be called Bellinade. And we're not going to use any sugar. We're going to sweeten with dates. And that's going to make us unique. And that's how we're going to be better than everybody else. And like she already has these ideas. Like she's 5 now. But she started off at 3 with these ideas. You know what I mean? That she wants to be an entrepreneur. She wants to have her own business. And so when you know that you have not only your child watching you, but like looking up to you, thinking like, this is what I'm going to do when I grow up. There's no failing. Like that's not even a word at this point.
So you started it in July of 2019. So you're 2 years into it. Okay. Still mm-hmm. in its infancy. Okay. Yeah. I'm still going to ask, even though I know I don't want to assume, I don't want to mind read. There had to have been a morning when you woke up and you said, oh God, what did I get myself into?
So that first summer when I started my business, I was working full time with the Navy because they asked me to come back on. I actually did pass the bar. So I'm a licensed attorney. And they're really shorthanded on attorneys. And so they asked me if I could come in because they needed the help. And I told them that I would come in for the summer only. But at that same time, I was working farmers markets. And so the farmers markets were every weekend all day. And then in the afternoons, I would leave the farmers market and go to the winery and be there till 10 p.m. at night. So my average Friday looked like I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I drop Isabella off at school. I go to work. I come back. Pick her up, feed her, wash her, put her to bed, then spend the entire night making gelato, literally not sleeping, leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to the farmer's market, getting to the farmer's market, packing up the farmer's market around 12:30, 12 o'clock, and then headed straight to the winery where I'm there until 10 p.m. at night. I get home Saturday night. I wash everything, get everything prepped for the next day. And by this point, it's 1 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. I get about 3 to 4 hours of sleep. Then wake up and do it all over again. And then Monday, right back to the same routine of waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning and going back. So, I mean, yeah, on those days, I woke up some days and like, what am I doing? But then I would wake up Isabella and I would remember. So, I mean, I knew, like, you know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's like, yeah, this is horrible, but not as horrible as being away from your kid. So
So it doesn't take long on those moments, you know, when you walk into a bedroom and you wake her up for the morning to kind of reset your why.
Yeah, every single day I see her, and it's just like, I mean, for those first few months especially, I'd been gone for a year, remember? And she every single day I picked her up from daycare, she would say, "Mama, you came back," and I wanted to cry every single time, because she didn't think I was gonna come. You know what I mean? Every day for almost a year, she did not think I was gonna come pick her up, and it was
No.
just like, yeah, it was so bad. And it was just like, and then even, you know how kids express their pain with toys, like when they're playing with their toys, all of her games were like, "Where's mommy?" Every game. And so it was just like, I mean, you can't, I mean,
Well, that's a powerful advantage you now have. Powerful advantage. It really is. So let me ask about this. So you said you have a whole bunch of pitch competitions. So you're pitching to, you know, whether it's a contest, would-be investors, fellow entrepreneurs most likely. What is your pitch? How do you connect to these people?
Well, I mean, the reality is that it's not really about how I connect to people. It's really about what they need. And the reality is that people need healthier snacks. People are looking for healthier snacks. The problem is that healthier snacks usually taste like poison. And so the reality is that everybody wants to eat healthier. Like literally 93% of the population wants to eat healthier. But when taste is the number one concern, you're not going to just eat some people will. Some people will eat poison. Like people love Taylor Top for a while. And I'm not going to say it's poison, but I mean, you've tasted it probably. But my point is that people were so desperate to eat something that was better for their bodies that they would eat something that tasted very, very bad. So something that was bad for their taste buds, but good for their, I wouldn't call it good for their bodies, but better for their bodies than regular ice cream. And so when you get people that are desperate for something like that, and you give them something that actually tastes amazing and actually tastes better than the stuff that they've already been eating that's bad for them, you don't have to convince anybody of anything. You just have to give them a taste. Because I mean that's all it takes, really. If I knew that there was I can't think of something that I love to eat, but like, I mean, I love cheese. If I knew that there was a healthy cheese, and I tasted it, it tasted like amazing, it still tasted like cheese and it tasted better than the cheese I was already eating, why wouldn't I change? So when you have something like dessert, like people love chocolate. They love gelato. So when you give somebody a chocolate bar and you don't tell them that it's healthy because that'll make them not want to try it. But if you give them a piece of chocolate and they taste it, and then you're just like, "Oh yeah, by the way, there's no added sugar in that." And they're just like, "You're lying." They don't believe me. And then you're just like, "Oh yeah, and by the way, that's also vegan." And they're like, "Well, why is it so creamy?" And I'm just like, magic. So
because
I don't have to convince people, just have to give them a taste.
like you said, it's people's taste buds, what people are used to, and people like the idea of let me eat healthy. They like the idea, but when it comes to actually tasting something that is an alternative and typically tastes, you know, less than delicious. But is the term vegan a hard one to connect with chocolate? Because chocolate, people think, you know, it's just chocolate celebration, chocolate is ice cream, chocolate is fun. And then vegan, a lot of people are like, ugh, I don't know about that. Right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's true. When people hear vegan, they're just like, they're hesitant, especially people that aren't vegan. People that are already vegan, they're like, "Oh my goodness, bring it on."
Sure, right.
But yeah, like, so like I said, like there's certain terms that you just don't use with desserts. And because most of the population doesn't want to try them if you put that label on them. So I try to, like, I don't tell people most of the time, like, but like our products they're organic. They're only 3 to 5 ingredients. They're vegan. They are fair trade, non-GMO, like anything you could possibly want in your food, it is. But the most important thing really is that it tastes amazing. Because no matter what all those labels are, even if you have them, most people won't try them or eat them again if they don't taste amazing. And I mean, so that's one of the number one, that's the number one factor, reality. And the reality is that I'm going after kids because I made my product for my daughter, right? And so if she's not going to eat it, then I might as well throw the product out because that's who I made it for. And so when you have a 5-year-old that is literally sneaking 70% bars Like my daughter will go, like, I remember one time I caught her eating a 70% bar. She went through two bars, and I only found out because whenever, for whatever reason, whenever she eats chocolate, she gets it all over her face. So
She's not
she
good about
has
being
chocolate
stealthy.
all over her face.
Right.
I'm just like, what are you doing?
Right.
Nothing, because she doesn't know she has it on her face.
Right.
And yeah, I found like these two 70% bar wrappers, just like sitting, you know what I mean? And it's just like a 5-year-old eating a 70% bar, and
Wow.
it's just like, you know that it tastes good because
You're
you're
doing
not gonna
something
have
right.
that. That's
Yeah,
not
yeah.
the thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, and again, today's guest, Teresa Black, who has really one of the more unique and compelling and motivating stories of what led her to becoming an entrepreneur. She had a moment in life as an active duty member of the Navy while she's deployed, a new mother, and a student at law school, that the light went off that perhaps there was a better way about going about things when she was being pulled away from her daughter, being pulled away from her family. And as the old saying goes, necessity is a mother of invention. And man, you're living that one to a T. I mean, think about that. So let's talk about this. So you're, again, you're 2 years into it. Are you at the point, and again, I'm certainly no expert in the food production business. Are you at the point of mass producing? Because it's always based on orders and volumes. You know, you seem like somebody does a lot of research. You know, you know what's going on, right? So take us through that, because that's probably the next big step if you're not already there.
Yep. So we were actually supposed to start our. So this is the biggest thing that people have to understand is raising money. So yeah. So in order to pay a co-packer, you have to have a lot of money up front because you're putting a lot of money up front for inventory and all the ingredients and stuff like that. And so I needed to raise money. And the reality is that as a black female, also veteran, like we have the hardest time getting money. I think black women get 1% of venture funding.
Really?
And so it's one of those things. It's just like you have to just try that much harder. And so I actually had everything lined up, everything was ready to go. And then, sometimes money just drops off, and that's what happened. So I was supposed to actually be doing our first co-packer run coming up here next month. And now it's delayed. And so, the reality is that I think the most important part about being an entrepreneur is being able to pivot. So literally, I found out that company couldn't get me the money anymore. And you know what? I didn't blame them. I understood. It's not their fault. But I had to figure out what's going to happen next. Like, so I did. You know what I mean? And so it's going to be a struggle. Yeah, keeping up with all these orders because, as I said, we've been picking up new grocery stores like nobody's business, and they're all ordering like this many cases at a time. And they're thinking, all right, well, this is a new product. It's gonna go slow at first, and then they're just like, "Well, we need more." You know what I mean? They're ordering like they're doubling their order. So then it's just like, "All right, well now everybody's doubling their order at the same exact time." My number of employees hasn't gone up because right now it's difficult to find any employees, and it's just like, yeah, I needed that run, and
How
we don't have it. So
many people do you have in production?
right now we have three. And
Oh,
that's not a
okay.
lot, and it's very, it's like, and so that means I'm working overtime, all the time, and it's just, constant, like chocolate's always being made, the machines are always running, always cooling, like, you know what I mean? I don't have the major commercial equipment yet, and so it's like we have to let it actually cool down the amount of time it actually takes for it to cool, you know what I mean? So it's just like,
Yeah.
yeah, right now we need to go into production. We have a couple of big major retailers. We were just picked up by Walmart, not too long ago. We have a handful of other like natural food stores, like major natural food stores that are evaluating us right now. They requested samples, and we might be in them soon as well. And so it's one of those things. It's just like as soon as those people sign on the dotted lines, like you don't have a choice but to go big. We even had a wholesaler, one of the wholesale companies, reach out to us saying that they wanted our product. And so it's just like, yeah, things
Wow.
are moving quickly, and we're just trying to keep up. And yeah, like you said, I am a planner. I did have our co-packer lined up already, even before we needed them.
Sure.
I already knew who I was going to use. I already had all the, like, even when I first started picking out our ingredients, I chose suppliers based off of their ability to grow with us. And so, yeah, I trust me, I thought ahead.
Well, that I don't doubt. That I don't doubt at all. But we know as business owners, as entrepreneurs, lots of things are out of our control. The orders don't always come exactly in the way and in the frequency that you actually want. And then there's money and funding and cash flow and so on and so forth. And the list goes on. So it was all because of spending time with your daughter, with family, which at the end of the day is what it's all about. Let's face it. And your first career, you know, getting into law, you wanted to get into it to champion the cause of social justice, and you realized it wasn't the best possible route, and then the demand, it didn't make sense. So there's a number of very powerful factors driving you in doing what you're doing, despite the fact of the chocolate and how it's up and competing and how it's, you know, that much better and sustainable, et cetera. But now let's talk about, you have made the shift. Okay, I'm not going to be an attorney. I'm not going to be a practicing attorney, but I still want to champion the cause, to bring awareness to social justice, you know, in your own way. And so how are you now doing it with Bon Appa Sweet?
Yes, yeah, so we put facts about social injustice in all of our packaging. So inside of our chocolate bars. Inside of the chocolate packaging box, you can find facts about social justice. And we call them just facts because they are just the facts, not at all sugarcoated, just like our products. these are facts about social justice that it's my hope that people will read these and like demand change. And they're not things that are polarizing. So like, I know a lot of times you have these issues that are special to one side, but not the other side. These issues are all things that everyone can agree on, and things that what I feel that a lot of politicians do is they try to tear us apart. But reality is that most of us have more in common than we do that are not in common. And if we can just come together, we can actually change things. And I feel like a lot of us feel empowered because we feel like there's just so much to do and we can't change everything. But the reality is that there are things that we all can work towards together. And I think together is where we have our power. And so that's the idea behind the way that we create our facts, is that we want to bring everyone together to fight for these causes. Because I know that they mean something to everyone. It's something that everyone can agree. We need to change this.
Well, listen, we're getting off the topic of business and your business and chocolate, but it's an important topic. And like you said, unfortunately, politicians, both sides, they divide, they polarize, they think it's going to help their side. And it creates so much negativity, no matter what side you're on. It creates a lot of BS. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think that even if you have people, you know, one somebody who's liberal, somebody who's conservative, at the end of the day, if you just sat down over a nice, calm, quiet conversation, you'd realize we're maybe more similar than we thought. So that's a very important point to make. Thank you for making it. And I do like the fact that while it's obviously a very important topic, now this business owner in me is thinking again, marrying such an important topic with a fun topic. You know, is it more digestible? Yeah. No pun intended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people accept it more because it's not like, I remember when I was younger, the Snapple bottles used to have those facts underneath the caps.
Oh, in the caps. And
you always want to read what it's going to be this time. And it's just like, that's something I remember when I was a kid. And so this is the same type of thing, is like, I feel that when you're taking in information from a happy point of view, like when your mind is happy, because I mean, you're eating chocolate. Hello. Then when your mind is happy, you're more able to accept things. And I think that it also encourages you more. Like you realize that like, hey, I wanted to change my diet and I'm doing that even though I'm eating candy. Right. And you're like, I want to change the world. I want to leave my mark on the world. And I can do that too. Through this candy also, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, let's go sign in this petition. Let's go change the world together. And so, like I said, I mean, exactly what you just said. I mean, it's something that brings positivity to something that's already a positive experience, and lets you know that you can make a difference.
Now, are you, because a lot of brands and or products, you know, they'll get behind certain social causes, okay? And they'll tie it into the product somehow. Are you aligning with any particular organizations, or are you just like, is it more the message? Because you said, I'm sharing just facts. So is it something that you've thought of or have considered?
I have considered partnering with some organizations, but I guess the problem is, it all comes back to the problem of separating people. Is that, like, there's not many organizations that are fighting for social justice that aren't on one side of something, like one side of the aisle or the other side. Mm. And it's difficult to find one that's just bipartisan and that people really, like, people just really accept, really. So they're like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's very difficult to find that. Mm. So I have not yet partnered with anyone, but I am open to finding someone that can draw that line. And be in between, because I mean, the reality is that, like, the more people that are fighting for a cause, the faster that it can, like, you can actually make a difference. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm open to it. It's just that it's very difficult to find.
Well, yeah, lots of people doing small actions consistently can make massive, massive change, you know, which is what we're looking for. And
yeah.
You know, listen, if you find that bipartisan organization, and again, it's sad that you can't find one, but that's a whole other topic. But listen, if you find one, great. I wish you luck with it. But you know what? The strength of the chocolate might just be exactly what, maybe you just do it on your own. You know, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Then we also have organizations that are, like, supporting us. So, I mean, like NAACP, Chobani, Stacy's Pita Chips, right. Empower Project with CA Fortune and mm-hmm. Jay Connolly. Like, so I won I actually did win a pitch competition.
Oh, you did. Congrats. That's awesome.
I did. So it was specifically for food.
you weren't going against like a heart machine.
Cancer curing, yeah. So right. It was called the Empower Project, and I won $700,000 worth of services, and so with that comes a lot of stuff. So they're helping me out a lot. But like what I'm saying is that there are a lot of partners that are here to help and support and promote what we're doing. And when I look at it, I see them as partners. I see you as partners because you're also helping support this mission, right?
Sure.
And so it's not just us on our own, but it's not just us by ourselves. It's all of
Never.
You guys.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So then, all right. So it's hard to project, you know, too much into the future, especially in business, especially in 2021. It's very, very rapid and comes at you. It's like drinking out of a fire hose sometimes. So you're 2 years into the business. Have you thought again? Because you're a planner. Have you thought of where you would like to see the business? Just even 2 or 3 years from now. I don't really think you can go much beyond that.
Of course. I mean, the reality is this. So a lot of people don't know this, but there are, so chocolates, like Better For You chocolates are like, they are taking over the market right now. And so at least the top six chocolate companies in the world are looking for a Better For You chocolate. Two companies have already been acquired by some of these larger companies,
really?
And in the hopes that the Better For You chocolate market will help them to become number one. But the reality is that I know for sure that there are other companies that are looking for chocolate like ours. And so honestly, what I'm trying to focus on right now is running. Because the reality is that once people find out how good Date Sweet and chocolate is, they're going to try to copy it. And I'm trying to get ahead of that curve. So before they can figure it out, I'm going to run with it. And we're trying to grow as fast as possible, as soon as possible. And hopefully, I mean, we've already caught the eye of three of the some of the top six in the world. So we'll see
really?
What happens.
Wow. All right. Yes. Now, are you ready for a tough question? I left this. I'm just thinking now based on what you're saying.
All right. I am ready.
So you build it up. 3 years from now, you're so successful, you don't take Tim Healy's call. You don't have time for the Profit Express. That's how successful you are. And
I'll always have time.
Yeah, thank you. now you're recorded. You have to. so you've exceeded expectations. You're doing great. You're running on all cylinders, right? somebody comes to you 3-5 years from now and they say, hey, man, we love what you're doing. It's a great product, et cetera. Here's a check with zeros, lots of zeros. But they're not on board for the social justice aspect of what you do. What do you say?
The social justice aspect of what we do is I think, one of the most, I mean, besides, like, obviously helping people eat better, the social justice aspect is the second most important thing in our company. I don't see us saying yes to that. The reality is that somebody has to change the system. Somebody has to. Too many people get, like, so people start off running for politics. They want to make a big change, but then they get there and they realize that it's very difficult.
Right.
And so many people want to change and they just give up because it's so hard. But when you're in a position, especially if you were as successful as you think we're going to be in 3 years, we actually have a shot at really making a change. You know what I mean? Because your voice is louder. Larger you get, the louder your voice becomes. And so when we actually have a real shot at changing the world, I'm not going to turn my back on the world. This is my daughter's future. You know what I mean? This is her. She's going to inherit our country. She's going to inherit our world. Mm-hmm. If I turn my back on it, what does that say about me?
What wasn't an easy question, but you know, I just can't throw softballs on the show. You know, I love the story. I'm a sucker for a great entrepreneurial story. And I haven't said it yet, but thank you for your service.
Oh, nice.
And to all those who serve, obviously, of course. I've time for one more. As you look back so far, and it hasn't been that long, it's only been a couple of years. If you had a do-over or a mulligan so far, what would you like to take back with the business?
I think I would start with chocolate instead of starting with gelato, because we've only actually been making chocolate. So we've been a company for 2 years, but we've only been making chocolate since January.
Of 21?
You have 21.
I didn't know it was that short. Wow. Okay. Holy cow.
Yeah. And so that's exactly my point is like how far we've gotten in just this short period of time with the chocolate versus how long we were doing the gelato. The gelato tasted good, but the reality is that the chocolate is so much better. I mean, it's so cleaner, so much better for your body, so much better for the environment. So much like our chocolate was clean. Trust me, our chocolate was clean, but like it wasn't 3 to 5 ingredients.
Right.
So it's just one of those things. It's just like, I mean, I wish I had started with chocolate.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I can't even imagine where we'd be right now if I had started with that.
All right, well, it's coming. It'll be here before you know it. It'll be here before you know it. Listen, today's guest again, special thanks, Teresa Black, the founder of Bon Appétit. How can people... because I think a lot of people are going to be interested, not just to taste the chocolate, of course, for all the right reasons, but they want to follow you. How can they follow you?
Yep. So we can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our handle is Eat Bon Appétit. So it's just like Bon Appétit, except take off the teat and put sweet there. And then our website is www.bonappetit.com. So that's B-O-N. appetit.com.
Awesome.
And then if you live in DC, you can find us in local stores, but if you live anywhere else in the country, we ship nationwide. So
awesome. Well, I'm going to be very interested to keep following your story, and I will. I definitely want to have you back, because I think the story has just begun. It's just begun on you.
Thank you.
All right. Teresa, thanks so much for being on board today. And this is The Profit Express, of course, every Wednesday. Remember to listen and download to episodes just like the one I had with Teresa Black. Follow us on Twitter at Profit_Express, on Instagram at The Profit Express for great episodes like today. Thank you for sharing your time as always. And together, let's continue to win the battle for business.